Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening.
Hi, good morning, and here talking about Alex Jones. Probably the biggest alternative media host.
problems.
This is entitled The Man, The Myth, and the Legend, or The Legend. Myth and legend. Well, it's not a myth. I guess he is a myth because people aren't sure on the guy.
Okay, that was the wrong startup music. today's show is the anniversary of the 9/11. Call-in number 347-989-1037. It's a 14-year anniversary. Expecting a couple of people that I prearranged. Hopefully they make it, and whoever else can make it is welcome to chime in. I hope I can do more than one person at a time, but I'm thinking it won't let me because it's a free show, and usually there's other features they make you charge to. They charge you to be able to do more stuff. So we'll see. I wasn't able to earlier this morning, so that might be the case here as well. So 9/11, 14th anniversary, and what's changed in 14 years? Well, lots of a lot of freedoms, of course. Everybody knows that. And, more TSA, more FEMA, more DHS, metal detectors in schools, more school shootings, more gun-grabbing false flags, on and on and on. A lot of stuff has gone on. If you keep letting it go on, it keeps getting worse. When does the pain stop? When you stop it. It's pretty simple. It's not rocket science. Hell no. So, let's see. 9/11 clips that are pretty interesting. George Bush, he said a lot of stupid stuff. He did a lot of backpedaling, and those are funny. The informative ones come from various people, such truthers, talking about the facts and the various organizations like Architects and Engineers, Richard Gage, truthers, we Are Changers, Luke Rudowski did a lot of stuff on videos on Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski and so forth and so on. I had one guy ask, when am I going on? I said, around 3. He said, what time zone? I said, Eastern. And that was the last I heard of him. Well, that's great. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon seems to be kind of like a lull. People want to take an afternoon siesta if they don't got a big fat pot of coffee to suck from. It's kind of like a siesta time because the lunch is digesting and kind of, especially if you, if the weather is kind of nasty, hot, and humid, you got to be stuck inside. So, right on. 9/11. I wish I had a TV in here that I could see what they're talking about and comment about it. That's always a good method to get some conversation going. Again, the call-in number is 347-989-1037. So I wonder why the hell the guy asked me, are you Eastern time zone, and then just seemed to drop off the... Amazing. I get very little response from these people with the 9/11 True America, 9/11 World, 9/11 anything on their profile picture. That's a little bit discouraging. Oh, I guess it's another monologue situation. It's okay. There's a lot of good stuff out there. Some of these videos on the 9/11 are, of course, the Benghazi thing with the Hillary was on also around 9/11, what, 2 years ago? 2 or 3 years ago. That's a hell of a thing. I think I got a clip here for you regarding 9/11's there's a 26-minute clip of the South Tower collapse. There was a North and a South Tower, buildings 1 and 2 of the World Trade Center. And then at 5:20 p.m. on that same day, a Building 7 came down without even a plane even hitting it. And the BBC reporter that was there on the ground, she didn't even know that the building was standing behind her, saying that the building had come down already. That's a famous... clip that, has been out probably for just about 14 years, at least 13. We have a guest in the chat room. Listener, I presume. Please feel free to chime in the chat room. And I got LJ. Her husband, Christopher Bolin, has got a book out, a new book, or an audio reading of his book about 9/11. And that's, it seems that Christopher Bolin has been pretty active as a reporter, journalist on 9/11. And pretty impressive writings. Would be interesting to get her take on that stuff, and I think we have her here now. Hello?
Hi there, this is Adrian Prince.
Oh, Adrian. How's it going, Adrian?
Hey there. Good, good. I'm not used to navigating this Blog Talk Radio thing. I didn't feel like signing up. Signing into Blog Talk Radio, and there's like a 30-second lag, so it was very confusing how to do this. How are you doing today?
Sorry that you pretty good. I'm just monologuing it there, and I'm glad you did sign up. I didn't know you had all that stuff to go through, but I'm happy to have you here, and I hear the radio in the background with about a 5 or 10 second delay.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and close that. Exactly. I'm going to just close that. Now we're in real time. Yay.
Awesome.
Hey there. So, I'm surprised that you haven't got a lot of response, except that perhaps everybody's, like, at work and stuff like that.
That's probably what it is. That's the way that whenever I was working a 40-hour job, it's like they always have like a project due. Oh, no, we can't have anybody taking any time. We got this due, blah, blah, blah. It always happens around this time of the year for some reason. And, I don't know why, but it just does. Hello, we got a second person on the line.
Okay, cool. Well, I did put a post on my page inviting other people to chime in. Why don't you go see who's there?
Okay. 760.
Yeah, you hear me?
I hear you.
Oh. Well, I didn't know I'd be directly connected. This is.
Oh, did you not? Did you just wanted to listen? You didn't want to talk?
No, that's okay. This is Astuza.
Oh, Astuza. Hey,
yeah.
Man, help us save the USA from
there
California.
You go. Yeah. Yeah, I was in a little 9/11 march this morning. And
awesome.
It was from the pier at the ocean up to the Civic Center by City Hall. And it was a little disappointing. There was only about 50 people marching. And
yeah.
It was short, but they had a ceremony at the end with the flag put at half staff. And then the chaplain spoke. And 14 years into this, you'd think... you know, being he's the fire chief captain or chaplain, he might just go on and on about the fire department. But instead, his message was on how colleges these days are having courses about 9/11 and telling the people to have more respect for the terrorists. So,
my
yeah.
God.
So it was good to hear him say that. Just a little bit more evidence that they all know what's going on, and we got to do more about it. So I think once the silent majority speaks in one voice, we're going to finally get somewhere, and that's what I'm calling you about, is we have to get together, make one voice be very loud. So...
Well, I agree
we
on that.
Yeah.
I've been,
listen,
the last 5 days.
Eric, I'm gonna,
sure.
Eric, I'm in a library, so I'm going to have to go, yeah.
Okay, I appreciate you calling in and sharing that
all
with
right.
us, Gil.
All righty.
Take care.
All right,
we'll see you.
All right, bye.
Wow. Bye-bye. I had no idea that's what they're teaching in college these days, is that the terrorists require to be given some compassion for their being pissed off. Although ISIS, I keep reading how they are a concoction to cause the problem, and then the government can step in with the Hegelian dialect and be the solution, which, you know, it's a topsy-turvy situation. And I don't know. What's your take on that, Adrian? You had some good posts on your...
Sounds like there's more spin than like a DJ, right? Well, so spin it this way, spin it that way. It's like pretty funny. It's like,
keep everybody so disoriented that they basically just turn off and don't care, or maybe they grab one side and then they can argue against, you know, that with that basis or whatnot, and it just frustrates
exactly.
the hell out of everybody. And I, you know, that's craziness. They just, the chaos. There's several books on chaos. The chaos theory, the more
that's
chaotic you
point.
Can make it, then you can shake people up more. And people in a fear factor are more easily controlled because they kind of shut down. You know, they kind of give in. Some of them will, you know, maybe kick back, but a lot of them will say, well, you know, I got kids to provide for, I got to earn a living, I don't want to buck the system, rock the boat, and lose my job, and I'll just shut up and be quiet over here, and, you know, nothing I can do about it, I'm just one person. That's the mentality of a lot of...
Yeah, I call it trauma-based foreign policy, and domestic policy, too. Basically, I call America one nation under PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, like, I don't even know who to feel worse for, the people who don't want to speak out because, like, they're just so freaking jumbled that, you know, they don't want to take a step in any direction, or the people who are, like, calmly and collectively going, oh, no, we have so many better things to think about. The 9/11, you know, that's in the past, you know. We have deeper issues now, you know. regarding the planet, and it's just like, oh wow, well I'm really glad that you're not traumatized at the moment, but this is pretty stupid.
Yeah.
You should really, while you're not traumatized, maybe you'd like to like take a look at a couple of facts. Just ask a question or two.
I was reading on your wall about, was it your grandpa or somebody saying that until this thing is solved and we never really can have liberty and justice for all because it's just a big question mark sitting out there, this 9/11 situation of the Pentagon crash, the World Trade Center crash, World 7, and the Shanksville. All these things are big questions.
Yeah, it's so interesting because usually in like a court of law, if you could poke some substantial holes in a case, you would have to question the entire case. And so there are such big holes. For instance, the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth absolutely point this out all the darn time. If you have to question whether it was a plane or a missile that hit the Pentagon, if you have to question where the hell the actual plane was in Shanksville, then you kind of have to question the entire damn story. If you have to question World Trade Center 7, but for some reason, see, trauma does an end run around everyone's critical faculties, and it's really super sad.
Anyway, it is super sad. Well, it's true. I mean, that's absolutely right because there's in the Pentagon, there's only one hole, and how could you have two engines going into the Pentagon with one hole unless the plane was sideways? But then how could you even get a plane going 500-600 miles an hour to hit that accurately at one side, that low to the ground? No, it's just it had to be a cruise missile.
It's so ludicrous because, for instance, okay, just the acuity that it would take to hit these towers with planes and hit the Pentagon, right? The incredible amount of amazing skill that it would take to make that happen. Okay, let's say that there was a plane and it really came in towards the Pentagon. First of all, if it hit even 10, let's say 100 feet before or 100 feet after, what you would have seen is like a plane bouncing around, shedding wings, shedding tail segments. I mean, the fact that there was no tail section, no wings, for me, that makes it an open and shut case.
They closed it.
Yeah.
They had that so tightly, the Pentagon people, I mean, what, 70, 80 security cameras, and they only show like one or two angles like of the footage of the cruise missile going in, and then they so quickly, everybody had their rubber tighties on, and they had whatever wreckage was there, they had it carted away in a secret. You know, they made a secret out of it by taking the small, whatever the size of a cruise missile is, you know, a quarter or an eighth of an airliner, and sticking it in that box and then covering it with the tarp, I mean, so that it was hidden because, they didn't want anybody, the truth getting out that it wasn't a plane. No plane was hijacked and run into the Pentagon. I mean, and that...
Period.
That's a... Yeah. And the Shanksville thing... All the debris scattered over 7 miles, and the thing went and bounced off the ground and went into the woods and disappeared. That's pretty shaky. That's really shaky.
Yeah, it's just not what plane crashes look like.
No, there's always
what happened to the people who were supposedly aboard those planes. But yeah, there's so many darn holes in the story that it's. What's really, really sad, though, I really think it does come down to trauma again, though. Hitler, for instance, talked about the necessity of telling a big lie, that if you're going to lie to the people, you should probably make it really, really big, because the same amount of brain capacity is going to be needed to accept a big lie as it would to accept a little lie. And so basically when 9/11 happened, the entire country, I mean, I remember what it felt like, right? But the entire country and to some degree the entire world was traumatized. Okay, so here's something really silly. The film Zoolander came out around Christmas that year. And
people
were like, is it too soon to see a funny movie? You know, like, that's how traumatized we were. It's like it was 3 months later, and people were like, is it too soon for us to, like, go and laugh again? And it was kind of like, yeah, maybe. It was too soon for Zoolander. That's how it was.
Yeah, I mean, that was a funny movie. And I don't think I saw it until, you know, years later on DVD or something, but or Netflix. But it was a funny movie. I didn't know it came out that soon after 9/11 until you just mentioned that. But there was so many other little quirky things. The media was, and George Bush saying, just everybody just go out and spend. Go spend your money, go back to shopping. Don't everybody sit at home. Yeah, go take your paycheck and buy things. We don't need you sitting home and making this economy go to crap because, you know, we got to keep this thing going, and I don't want to have a bad reputation as president, you know, but this happened on my watch. Bad George W. impersonation, but he's sitting down there. Then there's him saying, I saw the first plane hit on TV. He's reading the My Pet Goat Upside Down. Andy Card's whispering in his ear a couple times. And, you know, that whole other debacle was another sham, you know, the way that went down.
So was 9/11 the My Pet Goat Day? I know he was reading to a bunch of school kids. But was that really
Sarasota, Florida.
Down My Pet Goat Day? I figured he did that stupid thing some other time. Oh, that is
well,
so
he
funny.
Was pretending to be participating in the black ladies sitting there reading in the class, and the, you know, kindergartens or whatever are reading the thing, and he's, you know, looking up and has the book there, but he's not even obviously looking at the book because somebody zoomed in on the picture, and it shows the title facing, you know, towards the person taking the picture rather than away.
I'm going to have to go find that image. That's a picture is worth a thousand words, and you can find them all on the internet, which is awesome.
Sure. Yeah, just
have you ever been, like, when you were a kid or even if you get in a traffic stop and you're, like, shitting your pants because you know you're about to get busted, like shit just got too real. I could so identify. That was part of how I knew everything was fake, besides the fact that these things obviously look like controlled demolition, was that I could feel him sweating bullets and just sitting there paralyzed. And I was like, yep, I bet there's somebody telling him what to do right now.
Real presidential, huh? It's like, gives you a lot of confidence that this guy is running the head of the executive branch. Yeah,
well, that's the kind of presidents they want. I mean, come on, team players.
Exactly. Good puppets. That's exactly
perfect.
What they want, are puppets like Obama that can read the teleprompter well and sound good, you know, and could be Hollywood B movie if, you know, they weren't president. And, now George Bush was, his last term was ended in 2007 or 8, right? That's when Obama started.
Right. Yeah.
So they needed something like 9/11 to traumatize the country into not really standing up and allowing, you know, a piece of dirt like Obama to become president. Because not only should he not have gotten the first term, how in the hell did he even get a second term? And the have you seen the movie America from Freedom to Fascism, the documentary by Aaron Russo?
No, man, you just triggered me by jumping on Obama. I mean, like, oh, no, don't don't even go there. Like, okay, forget it. Okay, here's the thing. There's this entire continuum along the truth or scale, right? And people, like, mm-hmm. jump off at certain places having to do with – I mean, Obama is no more of a POS than any other hired president, probably
true.
Since Roosevelt, but most certainly since Kennedy, when everybody got the wake-up call that even if you're the president, they can take you out anytime they want.
Absolutely.
So I hate it when people, like – I can see where people, like, jump off the smart train and start to go, it's Islamists or it's liberals or it's the Tea Party. And it's like so crazy because there's this entire spectrum where people are like, okay, I'll accept this much, but I'm going to pin it here, like you talked about earlier.
Mm.
So anyway, mm-hmm. I can't really call Obama a POS because I'm like, we needed a different face in there, and anybody who got elected was going to be a hired gun. Let's face
are
it.
Are you telling me you voted for this guy?
No, I'm a Green.
Okay.
I ran in 2004. None of these people are my president. Sorry.
They definitely are. I mean, that guy is a pathological liar. I mean, some of the other guys have told some good lies, but this guy just, he even gets called out in Congress. Remember that famous line where the guy says, "You lie"? Was it, I forgot who it was, but that was really famous a few years ago when Obama was talking about, now I have to look that up, some kind of, you know, policy.
They lie. From the moment they get up to the moment they go to sleep, they have to engage in a very sophisticated doublethink. To even believe that America is the greatest country in the world and it's like the only country that's doing it right, to even buy into that, you have to have bought into the most sophisticated doublethink ever perpetrated on humans. To ignore all of the ties that combine America and Israel and the entire New World Order and the overwhelming agenda. It's like, I am like not down for jumping all over Obama, particularly because I'm thinking it's in the water. It's, what do they say? It's the cheese. No, it's in the water. This is any degree to which you're going to rise in American politics is going to require that you be a liar. And that you'd be well socialized and really good at it. So I'm not down for just jumping on Obama because I think it's the entire Sikh system. And of course, it's really sad when they put token people in and say, look, we've got, I mean, that's why they'll probably try and figure out a way to get Hillary in there so they can be like, yay, you got mm-hmm. your female president. Be happy.
Speaking of a corrupt country, you know, of course, there's the Native Americans, and then there's the slaves coming over from Africa on the boat and against their will, probably most of them. And, maybe they were sold by their own countrymen. I don't know. But the war thing, the whole war economy, the petrodollar, have you read or heard of the Smedley Butler's War is a Racket?
Oh, I know. It's like, okay, so every generation has got a few people. Now, Smedley Butler wrote that, what was it, like 1933?
About, yeah.
Yeah, so right every around. Generation has its segment of people who wake up. They are usually insiders. You know, the people who are awake and they're never insiders, they're like the Quakers, for instance, you know, they've always been awake. They've always looked skeptically at the war machine. They've always known that America's original sin is the genocide of the Indians and African slavery. They've always known that, but they weren't insiders. So when you've got this, when you've got people who are insiders and they become whistleblowers, I don't know. It says in your profile that you went to MIT. I don't know if that's just what people like to say. But, like, when you've been an insider and then you choose to blow the whistle, it takes some serious balls because it is going to blow the lid off of things. So, yeah, when General Smedley Butler wrote that and I found out finally, right, like 60 years later, I was like, all right, way to go. You know, those people's hands must be trembling when they do this, but they're more pissed off than they are.
Yeah.
Frightened.
Yeah, because he said I went into South America and killed people and then went here and went all these different continents killing people to only the outcome was to make business more favorable for big businessmen back on the homeland. And yeah, he was pissed. And he's saying these people won't go out and do anything, but they'll just have the other people, the military, do their dirty work. And that's why that American Sniper movie that, you know, people love Clint Eastwood movies, but on that one, people wonder where the hell Clint Eastwood went because glamorized and glorified Chris Kyle when that guy basically was a murderer for hire, you know, legitimized murderer. And then the CIA came out with, there was recently released under that their report on the Iraqi war. Their conclusion was there was no benefit to go into the war after all those billions of dollars and billion and thousands and millions of lives killed, slaughtered. There was no benefit from it.
I feel like, Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins is a really great example of what you talk about. It's like when we have an insider who finally says, yes, what you always suspected was true, is true. Mm-hmm. We've been, the entire myth of American democratization of the planet was all for economic globalism. And we're talking back from the Spanish-American War on forward, maybe even earlier. It's always been that, and it's really sad because we teach our public employees to just buy and swallow that, or if they don't believe it, that they should just shut the hell up. And we teach the children this, looking them straight in the eye, and it's just like super sad.
It is sad that people buy into the lie just because the news, you know, they got some blonde-haired bombshell parroting some headlines and bouncing up and down on the behind the microphone. Doesn't mean that what she keeps repeating and saying is, you know, actually.
It's trauma. It's more trauma. It's a,
sexualized trauma, right?
Traumatizing you, yeah.
And the young guys are taking it all in. Yeah, what she's saying is true. You know, she can't look that good and be lying to me, right?
Who knows? Like, what's really sad, and I'm sure you're so aware, is that when you've got a paycheck that's tied to buying this, it's really, really sad. It's insidious. But you can overlook a lot.
Like my friend, his girlfriend works for the TSA. They're basically common law. And, you know, I understand that she was in a tussle, you know, with a kid she had to support and, you know, single mom. She needed a job and she had got that job back in 2001. But and now, you know, she's making decent money, not like super good, but good for this economy, decent money. And she could never replace it if she were to leave the TSA. But, you know, at some point your morals got to say, look at all the stuff DHS and TSA are doing. And I just kind of went out of this organization because it's not right. And with any job.
People are doing that every day. Unfortunately, people are doing that every day. And think about it. It's like being trapped in the Twin Towers. I'm sure there are thousands of people who had dreams about what it would have been like to be in that tower just before it falls. I know I did. My dream was like I was in the women's room. So there's all these people who are hitched to this thick government military complex doing their jobs day after day. They must feel like people, you know, who are trapped in the South Tower and they know it's going to go down and they can't leave or they think they can't leave. Fortunately,
there was even the intercom
telling
them to stay calm, stay in the building, everything's going to be fine, the fire trucks are here, and the firemen were saying, yeah, we only need a couple more lines and we can knock out that floor number, blah, 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 wherever the plane went in and knock those fires out. And they were confident they could take the fires out, and then the demolitions, the explosions went off, and, you know, everybody got killed inside. But
I think the traumatic part that we haven't fully wrapped our minds around because of the trauma is that this was calculated murder of several thousand American citizens who went to work, the ones who weren't warned, the ones who actually went to work that day.
Yeah, they were on the hit list to, okay, we don't want him or we don't care about him. Either way,
yeah.
I mean,
and
you're right.
Your government just said that you're collateral damage, period. And the veterans are experiencing that now.
Are you familiar with the Jersey Girls?
A little bit. I have
four
family
women
in Jersey. Yeah.
They pushed the government to do the damn commission for that 9/11 commission and that came out, but it took 3 years. But their question was, why did my husband have to die? And, you know, they got kids at home, and their husbands died in Twin Towers, and they had to, you know, just they like were like a brute force team that kept harassing, I guess, D.C., driving down there, calling, faxing, texting,
yep.
getting, you know, signatures until finally there was a 9/11 commission. But in all the traumas that have happened, like Pearl Harbor and so forth, never has it taken more than a week or maybe 10 days before the commission was happened. And it took 3 years for 9/11's commission.
Right.
That tells you something.
It tells you a lot. It really does. And, of course, the good message of this, okay, so I say yay to whistleblowers. I say yay to people who speak their truth, especially if they've been insiders. I have so much respect for the kind of courage that takes. And the truth drills are a really good illustration of how there's only one thing stronger than greed, and it's love, really. You know what I mean? Like, if they didn't have to live with that open wound each and every day of not having their husband there and not knowing why, that's the kind of thing that gives you momentum to stick it out over a year while everyone else is trying to sweep this under the rug. I mean, the biggest crime that ever happened on American soil, and they don't do an investigation. They have a ridiculous story that they can't even fix. And they're just like whistling along, building their 800 military bases around the world, hoping nobody notices.
It's crazy. It's insanity, and it keeps going on. And I wish I had a little TV just to watch. A lot of commentators will have like a TV with some news, and they'll put it on mute so they can see what, you know, is being broadcast. The ridiculous of it, the commercials, all the drug pharmaceuticals, they keep flashing terrorists, you know, and clips of Bin Laden or some guy with the mask over his face, and or those stupid beheading. Most of those beheading videos
that's
are
more trauma. Yep.
Yeah, you don't show that stuff on TV for kids to see and stuff anyway. It's beyond the pale, and it just shows how far the media has fallen. And I keep hearing a Jewish Zionist own Hollywood, and you know Rupert Murdoch and these all the media's in five hand people's control and yada yada yada. But surely there's got to be a way to curtail the crap coming, you know, being broadcast. I mean, obviously you don't have to watch it. You can change a channel, but I mean, there's only so many channels to tune in. And if you're in a big city,
you just toss that TV out the window. Well, not literally, but yeah, no way. You just get rid of that thing Okay. So, you know, that there's a hypnagogic effect. Right, the vibration, the frames per second goes straight to your uncritical mind. So you'd have to put on the psychic equivalent of galoshes, you know, waist high galoshes, if you're even gonna try to watch television. I mean, if I see it at the laundromat or something, I just like want to start throwing things immediately. Strangers don't want to. Strangers at the airport don't want to hear about how that CNN story that just aired is full of shit. So it's kind
That's
of hard,
true.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure most people, well, I'd like to think most people aren't watching television anymore, but that
Yeah, a lot of people do
correct.
Mainly just stream, you know, use the internet to stream, you know, Netflix or some other, you know, news sites or YouTube, basically, I think is becoming more and more of people's source. But you know, people are lazy, and it takes effort to, you know, get online and log in, or even if you have one of those boxes, the Blu-ray players or a smart TV, you still have to kind of click around a little bit more than you would just watching regular TV channels. It's crazy. And then they have the internet kill switch. So just as you're getting used to the change, they might just stop the internet. I mean,
oh,
you know,
really?
severely paralyze it by, Well, that's something they're seeking after. I don't know what level of implementation it's at, but they definitely want to be able to, after a false flag, not have everybody get on here like you and me are doing, or broadcast YouTubes or whatever, to question the BS of it. That they this is majorly impacting their, you know, brainwash capability.
So they're really seeking after. What's interesting to me is there's got to be these people out there who actually know about the agenda and actually think it's a good idea. Somehow, on some level, there's like people who are doing this on purpose because they feel like this is going to make humanity better in some way. Really
They do. The Georgia Guidestones said to live in peace with humanity with 500 million people. So the, you know, 6.5 billion need to go someplace, ship them to the moon or to Mars, or exterminate them through chemtrails, GMO foods, and vaccinations. I mean, you know, that's slow kill, soft kill, and all that, endless wars, and on and on. It just gets crazier and crazier.
Oh, yeah.
But
so
we're
did they ever, like, decide who made the Georgia Guidestones?
The R.C. Christensen? No,
oh, okay.
It's private, and it was commissioned by, I think it's on private property, commissioned by some guy named R.C. Christensen back in, like, 1984 or so. And, nice year and nice Christensen, like of the Rosy Crucians, the Masonic group.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, that's like one of the tenets there, to live in peace and harmony with 500 million people. So they, have this extermination, which has been implemented. You know, the crap in the air, honeybees dying, genetically modified Monsanto crap is with all the crap Monsanto has been putting out, and it's still in existence. That's another quandary.
Like that should be completely illegal. Yeah.
And we're going to run out of time, and I don't want to get cut off mid sentence. I just want to thank you for coming on here, Adrian, and sharing your really good knowledge of topics.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I did have to, you know, I pushed you a little, I kind of pinched you or
well,
a little
bit.
Well,
you know, we haven't really hit the tip of the iceberg. Every person probably has a 9/11 story that would cause them to have pause. And, you know what I mean? Everyone's got a story. And we haven't even hit the tip of the iceberg, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I was selling something on Craigslist a couple of years ago, and this guy said, well, I didn't really want this. I just wanted to get out of my house, to get out of the, you know, to get that 9/11 off my mind, because they were playing the memorials on TV. I mean.
Re-traumatizing.
Exactly.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks a lot for doing what you're doing, Eric.
Thank you, Adrian. I hope I can have, you know, I don't know if you have a show or something, or.